Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
BT and Sal on the fan. Let's go back out to Yankee Stadium. Brian Cashman about to address the media for the first time since the season ended.
Hey, Brian. I know I don't have to remind you that obviously you started with the Yankee organization under George Steinbrenner, and he always had the World Series mandate. So after a season where you won 94 games, succeeded in the wild card round, but fell short in the division series round, how would you describe this season?
We've had success and failure. Obviously failed in our ultimate goal and had some success, obviously, along the way. We had a good team that but fell short of our ultimate goal. So, you know, I leave it for the masses to debate, you know, what it ultimately came out of. Proud of a lot of things we accomplished and players that we, you know, I knew that they were fighting. They were talented, they were fighting, they were committed, and but wasn't good enough.
Last year, after the season ended in the way that it did, you guys had a checklist of things you wanted to change. Better defense, better base running, more athleticism, more swing and miss pitchers. And you achieved the various degrees of success in those areas. What do you feel is on the checklist for improvements team-wide this year?
Yeah, every winter, you know, and summer, so both opportunities for acquisitions to make adjustments for your team. You're trying to attack areas of weakness, and every year that's different. So therefore, every year the team is different. You know, I thought obviously we had some successes from the winter into the summer to try to, you know, go to market and make adjustments and bring in some personnel that, you know, could reinforce areas that needed help and you know, which increased our chances, improved the club. We haven't had our pro scouting meetings yet with our front office about the available markets current that is upon us. You know, but I know the intent will be the same. We'll look to attack our areas of weakness to the best of our abilities with what's available. And hope our strengths remain our strengths, what they happen to be, so we can go ahead and try to take another shot.
Bruce.
Brian, what's your message to the fans who are hungry for a world championship?
We're just as hungry, just as disappointed. You know, that's really the message.
What do you want to tell them about going forward and how you plan to try to get them that title?
I mean, I think on a year-in and year-out basis, we try to do everything we possibly can to put ourselves in a position to believe that we have a chance to be ultimately world champs once again and have, you know, our fans think that and believe that, and obviously have the people covering us believe that, and then take our shot, you know. But while we're taking our shot for the teams that we've put together that have actually qualified for the postseason, you know, you're still, you know, you're a prize fighter getting into the ring with another prize fighter, and you got to be on your A game, and or you're going to take a punch that's going to knock you out, and unfortunately, you know, this year that knockout punch hit in the division series.
Eric and Joel.
Brian, you said, talking about attacking areas of weakness from where you sit, what are your areas of weakness going into the off season?
You know, I'm not going to unpack that today. You know, we'll have some free agency that's going to hit. You know, that'll create some vacancies. We have, you know, got to weigh the available marketplace via free agency or trades with the committed payroll versus the available payroll thereafter. You know, and again, measure opportunities. Some players, you know, knocking on the door, earning the right maybe to take the next step from down below. You know, and, you know, obviously at the same time, just trying to weigh what's available to us and if we can get our hands on it, you know, in competition via trade or free agent dollars.
And then when Aaron was in here talking about the staff changes, he said organizationally decided to go in a different direction. And in your eyes, what made those staff changes with specifically with Harkey and Chapman necessary or needed?
Yeah, every year we're just I'm charged with making some tough decisions. I got good, we have good people and unfortunately and friendships too. But I have to assess everything in the present and where we go as we move forward and again our staff is they work in tandem with each other in conjunction with our player group and I just have to make tough decisions. So no one was per se terminated. These were expiring contracts that the question is are we going to offer a new opportunity moving forward so I've made those decisions to make some changes and open up to evaluate opportunities in the marketplace to see if we can find some fits as we move forward into 2026 that make us better. But that's not to take away from the staff that I let go, who had obviously gave us a lot of great contributions along the way at the same time.
Joel.
Cash.
To the right.
You said if you're not on your A game, you get knocked out. Do you think anything could be done specifically for October, whether it's in leadership, decision-making, who's managing, coaching, the type of player you have, that would change the fate specifically in October?
I think that question might be a little too simple, and I don't even know if that's the right way to maybe clap back at that. But listen, like this division series, we got through the wild card matchup with Boston this postseason. Last year we got to the World Series. We get into the division series. Some guys, what I'm trying to frame is you have to fire in all cylinders. That means you got to pitch to the best of your abilities consistently. That clearly didn't happen in the Toronto series. And you got to hit to your best of your abilities with every, the sample sizes are so small that, when opportunities present themselves, you have to capitalize. Some guys who consistently hit in the postseason, didn't hit in the division series. Some guys who people question whether they can hit in the postseason did produce. You need it all at the same time. You need everybody from your rotation to your bullpen to your start, position player group on the lineup side, to bring your A game. And that's why I use the prize fighter. I think it was teed up, the intent, the ability, but you're going against another championship caliber, capable opponent. And if they are able to neutralize one of your, one or many of your personnel, during that series, and so you're not optimizing every opportunity and putting your best foot forward. It's competition, so it's no guarantee. Just because you have a big name and you have big numbers and you're consistently putting up, quality performances, and even, you're still matching up against somebody else trying to get you out or trying to pound you into their bullpen. So, it just kill or be killed. And I don't think that our guys aren't tough enough. I mean, our teams change every year. You got new personnel, whether it's different relievers, different starters, different, a third of our offense was changed this year, maybe a little bit more, with the additions of Goldschmidt / Rice, the evolution of Ben, obviously Ben Rice with the combination of Goldschmidt. You got the Bellinger addition, Grisham become an everyday force that he did this year. That's a 30-year lineup right there. Obviously, Ryan McMahon joined us late, hitting, in the seventh, eighth, or ninth hole, wherever Boone was putting him. That's a lot of turnaround, a lot of different guys that you didn't have prior. And again, you try. You had different guys in the pen, you try it. You had different guys in the rotation, you try it. And, and it, in many cases, looked good enough, is capable. But again, it just fell short at the time when we could not solve the Toronto Blue Jays this year. They rolled us in the regular season. They rolled us in the postseason. And, but Bottom line, we didn't earn the right to move forward. It's as simple as that. I don't think it's about leadership. I don't think it's about, you know, I just think it's about competition, you know, at a given moment in time. And, you know, so, and it's for you and then the fans, obviously, that support us to judge it one way or the other.
Pete and Deesha.
Cash, would you view securing Bellinger this winter as a top priority for you?
He was an impact player for us. I'm glad we got him. Certainly expect him to opt out. I don't know. We haven't gotten to those conversations yet. You know, we're in the HR version of our, winter so far. We will be scheduling all our internal discussions on roster assessments player-wise and then again, you know, looking what we have from within and exploring what we have outside. And but I can just tell you, you know, he was really impactful for us, no question about it. One of the many reasons why, you know, we, you know, were in a position to believe that, you know, we were capable of great things this year when the dust settled. And so I thank him for everything he's done, and certainly we'd love to have him with our team, you know, moving forward, but we haven't had any of those discussions. I haven't had any conversations with Scott Boras, but Bouquet is his way, without a doubt. He helped us on both sides of the ball, offense, defense. He's a versatile player. He was great in our clubhouse, and so. But, you know, all that's yet to come.
Deesh, back right.
Just how do you make sense of the mental and defensive lapses carrying over into this year in the biggest moments, and what can you realistically do to address that?
Forgive me, the mandola?
Mental and defensive lapses.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I think it's all part of a season, that comes in New York. It's louder. We certainly do a lot of deep dives on the base running allegations. As our team, you know, a terrible base running team? Well, it's not necessarily supported. We're actually, in theory, one of the best base running teams in the game and ran into the, you know, fewer amount of outs compared to other clubs this year. Not the fewest, but we're on the low end of that stuff. And if anything, you know, I think the first half of the season, you know, compared to the second half of the season in terms of aggressiveness, first to third, second to home, base stealing, I think you saw it ramp up more. I think that had more reflection of, you know, we had the personnel to do more on the pass, and I think that we started taking advantage of it in the second half more because I think some of our personnel were battling through some things while playing every day. And then once Booney felt more comfortable to start pushing that button on some guys, you know, once they were feeling better with it, you start, and then obviously our personnel changed. We get Caballero and the trade deadline, stuff like that. You started seeing us take advantage and being better at the base pass. But there were there were circumstances that play louder in New York when you get guys. I remember clearly the Fenway Park series with guys running from second to third with less than two outs on a ground ball to left side. Those, you know, can't happen, but they do. They happen here. They happen elsewhere. And again, you don't want to underreact to it. And you don't want to overreact to it. And it's why you spend some time to make sure you compare where you're at with others, and that the conversations that need to be had are still being had regardless. It's, you know. So you said, and then the physical errors. Yeah, I mean, you got to do the work and put it out there. And thought we were a better defensive team this year, more athletic, and I think it played out that way. I thought.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We were converting more balls into outs than we had prior, and that gave us a better chance to, you know, listen, last year we lost a big player in free agency and a lot of questions how we're going to replace it. So we came back, we were a different team, tried to adjust, you know, the areas of weakness that you try to address every year. Some winners you can, depending on the markets, you can address it better than others. Thought we were able to address a lot, which allowed us to, you know, put ourselves back in a position to dream big. So again, whatever our areas of deficiencies are, we will continue to try to attack them to limit mistakes, force mistakes on your opponent, you know, and be an offensive force as well as a one of the better teams on the defensive run prevention side, including your pitching staff. So,
go to the left, Gary, Chris.
Throughout the season, Anthony and Aaron said that Volpe's shoulder injury didn't have much of an impact on his performance. Do you agree with that assessment?
And did you? Anthony said, and I'm sorry, there's two guys. Meaning
Anthony and Aaron Boone.
Okay.
Both said that Volpe's injury didn't impact his performance much. Do you agree with that assessment? And if so, what makes you think he can be a positive contributor post surgery?
You know, I personally think now I'll start leaning more into that. Yes, it was affecting him. Because ultimately he had to have a surgery. None of that was really on the table, you know, in season. So I think all things can be true. Was it bothering him to a level that was getting to a height of concern for us? In season, the answer is no. Why is that? Player says it wasn't bothering him at that point. His physical testing was coming back strong. You know, we did an MRI that showed some old stuff in there. You know, Ahmad recommended we can do a shot, you know, and, you know, you banged it, you know, falling on it, diving on it. That seemed to take care of it. You forget about it. Struggles keep happening. You know, conversations between your player and your trainer. These players, first and foremost, are superpowers. You know, they're superpower. They're superhuman beings where the things that bother us physically, you know, in a massive way, I don't think these alpha dogs, for instance, it bothers them as much. They don't feel things as much. Maybe it's adrenaline. Maybe it's just they're so strong as oxes in so many different ways that it doesn't, you know, present itself to the point where they got to complain in a loud way. And so I know when asked, follow-up asks, including from my chair, is this a problem? I'll deal with our head trainer, you know, and his staff and the player. No, I actually feel better than I've ever felt the entire season. All right. You know, and this is during performance lapses. So I think it could be true on both ways. I think that, you know, I know people suggest maybe we underplayed the injury. I don't think that's true. I think we were trying to be as honest with our fans and our media who communicate to the fans what our medical staff, doctors, trainers, and then, you know, you treat complaints from the player. And if the complaints are, no, this is not an issue, I feel good, blah, 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 you know, you deal with it. You treat the patient, treat the MRI. But shot hit sometime, I can't remember when it was, May, June. He really responded well. You forget about it. Then all of a sudden the performance, you know, is spotty throughout the year. Continues of highs, lows. Now he's getting another shot. I think they repeated the MRI again. And like, listen, if, you know, we can look at this in the winter, and if this continues to be a problem, then we'll have to be open to looking to surgery. So as the year goes on and he's diving all over the place, kind of, you know, irritating it maybe at times, it starts to move up the tree of wasn't a concern, isn't a concern, to maybe it is a concern, and it's still speculative. He didn't have the season that we expected, that he expected, that we believe he's capable of. Now, after the surgery, you know, I don't even know if Aaron Boone's had a chance to talk to the doctors about it or not, but the surgery, when you opened him up, the cleanup was more severe than the MRI would result. So, which again leads me to, do I think it now probably is more of an impact than it was, even though it's not his throwing shoulder? Probably, you know, but speculative. But, you know, I don't think. Yeah, I'm just trying to answer the best I can. I've dealt with for years in the position of experience that I've had, where you deal with players and you respond to them, and if they, you know, you get assurances that that's not an issue, or I don't feel anything, it's not a contributing factor, I don't feel it with my swing or what have you. And but his performance swings were significant this year, more so than and because of that, and now, you know, with a surgery involved, with the post-surgery saying it was more significant than the MRI repaired. It doesn't show, it doesn't change the recovery time, but I do think that, in fairness to the player, who I don't think he was misleading anybody. I think he is telling you in real time what he feels and how he feels. And I think our trainers follow up with their physical testing, and then the MRIs come in play, and then the doctor, you know, medicine can, you know, it's kind of an inexact science. You do a protocol to try to walk through and dissipate a problem, and then, but if it continues to persist, then ultimately you have to do more and hit it with more. And this one eventually led to and the season ended, a surgery that turned out to be a little bit more significant than you know, if we were doing this presser in May, June, August, September. So,
you still see him as your starting shortstop once he's back?
I mean, I think so. I think, you know, I believe in the player still. I think we believe in the player. It doesn't mean that we don't play with, on any level, all aspects of roster assessments. You know, he's 24 years old. I don't think New York stage is too big for him. It's just, it's still finding his way. And, you know, the age is something that, you know, there's a lot of value to reminding yourself about that. Yeah, you see, whether it's in our sport, you know, players that eventually figure it out, you know, as they go down the line. You watch the NFL, these number one pick quarterbacks that franchise put everything in, you know, shortstops, kind of a quarterback position, center field, catcher in baseball. And you see that, you know, players that you know, you expect a lot, you know, at early on for seasons. But then they're not living up to their growing pains, so to speak, as they go through getting their sea legs under them somewhere, and then they wind up in a different environment, and now they're leading their teams. And I'm sure there are various different reasons for it, but I think Booney was talking about it with you guys earlier. It's like, sometimes this isn't linear. It's also not guaranteed, and that's why it's fair to always assess what you have, and is it good enough, and do you need to replace it, and can you find better, and all that stuff. And that, I promise you, always takes place. But I believe in the player. I think we believe in the player. I think the injury probably contributed to the performance season that he wound up having, more so than we would have thought, based on our intimate involvement with him and our medical staff, and that, how that played out, and the facts are the facts. He had to have a surgery that's going to take him down. He's not going to be ready for spring training, which therefore will put him out to start the season. He'll be on the IL.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Be ready sometime in April, maybe, you know, worst case scenario, May, but he's going to get a late start just because of that. So somebody will be playing shortstop, not him, opening day. But that doesn't, you know, that's not a good thing for us either. You know, I think missing him and not having him here is an option for us to be, you know, there is a problem. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting a fixed Anthony Volpe back, so, you know, he can be deployed and help us win games.
BT and Sal on the Fan. You're listening to Brian Cashman drone on. So we'll keep it going here, see what else he has to say.
No.
So understanding that you haven't had those conversations with your people, do you look at third base right now as a set position with McMahon, or do you think he's best utilized, given some of the splits against left-handed pitching, in a platoon or mix-and-match kind of situation? Or is he your everyday third baseman?
I mean, I think I'm happy we have him. I think he's our everyday third baseman, but I also, you know, because of splits, it's always like I'd like to make sure I can provide our manager with a lot of choices, so he can mix and match the best way he possibly can. And finding right-handed bats in this game today is more difficult than ever. You want to have the balance and stuff. So, you know, we'll get to all that, but he was a real positive addition, and you're talking about earlier with Deisha's question about, you know, run prevention, and clearly he makes your pitching staff better in a significant way. It was a great defensive play there, and you never know when you bring players to New York how they respond in this environment, and you know, he was great for us, and so I'm glad that I'm glad that's not a position, per se, I have to worry about moving forward. That doesn't mean we can't complement it. But again, we haven't had those meetings.
And Boone mentioned discussing other potential roles for Pat Rossler. Do you expect him to stay with the organization?
Not sure. I mean, I had difficult conversations with J-Row, our head guy, currently interviewed in Minnesota. There might be some opportunities. I've known Six for a long time. For those who don't know, Pat Rossler's nickname is Six, so I've known Six for a long time, and he's been a real contributing member of this for baseball and for this organization for a long time. And if there's a potential different role, you know, we'll talk through it maybe. But I think we also got to find out whether we have a head hitting coach at the same time. You know, we had Hurst's evolution and earning the right to get up here. He was offered a major league position elsewhere, and J-Row, you know, was all in, like, yeah, he's good, we should keep him. And then after the Minnesota request came in, you know, so that's how that dance move worked. So we'll see, let the J-Row stuff play out. And currently Minnesota is the only team that's asked, but, you know, always hear rumblings other teams might do the same. So who knows, because a lot of managerial vacancies out there.
Have you had any other requests on Rojas? I had one
request on Louis Rojas, Baltimore. Doesn't mean there won't be more. Again, there's a lot of vacancies out there. So right now, and feels like there's more than normal, but you guys probably keeping score would know that more than me, but feels like there's a lot more manager vacancies than our usual.
Chris, to the left.
Judge will be 34 next season. When you start thinking about crafting the roster, how much do you consider that his prime years might be coming to an end soon? And does that cause you to be more aggressive in maximizing that window?
I don't look at it. I just look at trying to put the best team we can with what's available at the time, from within, from outside, from maintaining what we've got. Like, you get big examples like making a trade for Bellinger, or small examples like tendering Trent Grisham, who became a lot different player for us this year than what we bargained for. I don't look at it as we have to maximize this or that. I feel like we're trying to put the best team we can on a year in and year out basis all the time, you know, and that involves older players that are obviously, and younger players. So you just need the mix. So,
and then with Carlos needing a procedure done, does that cause you to explore the starter market, both free agency and trade?
Don't know. I'll be honest, I don't know. Certainly he's been, the last 2 years have been really good for us with Carlos. He's done a great job. Unfortunately, he had to have the surgery, to get some cleanup on that, and it's going to have him start the season late. So he'll start the season on the IL, and he'll be ready either in sometime in April or early May at the latest, and as long as there's no other issues that pop up in between. But, you know, but I don't know what that means to, you know, where we put our remaining resources in and how we reinforce. Do we have enough from within? Do we have to go outside to augment? You're never going to have enough pitching, so I don't know. But clearly the good thing is he's coming back, so I have to make sure there's room on that roster when he does. So
you're listening to WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1, New York.
There were the loose objects in the bone spur that would need surgery.
I think a lot of these guys all have stuff going on at all times, and some of them it's just dormant for years, and other of them start to create issues. So I can't answer when that started becoming something. I knew at some point, like, it might be something that would have to be dealt with. It just comes down to, you know, their level of complaint versus doctor's assessments and recommendations of, we can just leave this isn't an issue to deal with right now, or if it does become enough of a problem, we can, you know, get in there. And so I think this all comes after the postseason, end of the season, you know, physical assessments. So I think if this presser was 3 weeks ago, and I wouldn't have had a surgery on my mind for Carlos Rodon, taking him out at the beginning of next year. But it's also not surprising given the job that he does. So,
and as you weigh multi-year contract commitments this offseason, Do you have to factor in, or if so, how, the possibility there might be a cap phasing in 28 or large hikes in tax rates starting in 27?
That's above my pay grade. It's business as usual as far as I'm concerned. And every time I've ever dealt with house time renter, he's like, just bring whatever to me and whatever gets presented to you, and whether it's from agents or if it's trade acquisitions or what have you. So that's how we'll, you know, continue to roll. But yeah, I'm thinking about 26, not 27.
Take one or two more, Dave.
Cash, that the last two off seasons for you guys were kind of big move driven. You got Juan Soto 2 years ago. Last off season was kind of the pivot from him and bringing Bellinger and some other guys. Do you see that the framework going into this off season as a championship framework with this team, or do you think there's other big moves that need to be made to kind of get you guys past the division series and back into a World Series? I know you have Cole coming back, and
I think we have a lot of quality that is currently here and on the come. But the job is always to find ways to get it better. Because whatever it looks like right now, you're going to wind up with injuries, surprising underperformance, just like you can get surprising better performance that came out of nowhere. That's all part of it. Job is to collect as much talent as you possibly can that you think can help, you know, your manager and his coaching staff and that team navigate, you know, a really difficult long season and find a way to punch your way through and give yourself a chance to take a shot at another championship. So I think we have a lot of good, but the job is for us to try to make it better.
Greg and Eric.
You mentioned Hal. How would you describe what your conversations have been like with him in the aftermath of getting knocked out and how he's kind of taken it all?
Yeah, I mean, he's frustrated, disappointed. You know, he wants it. He wants a championship here, another one, just like, you know, for him and his family. So I'll speak on behalf of Hal and his family. They, you know, they, I think, believed, you know, not just recently, but many times that we had a chance to do something. But, you know, it's not a given, you know. Yeah, if it was a given, and people who had that championship caliber gene that have punched through, if that gene was repetitive, and I'm not talking about a gene from handed down from father to son, like, you know, the great George Steinbrenner belongs to the Hall of Fame, to a son, I'm talking about a gene of winning. You know, there's many a great player that maybe they punched through one time, or many a great manager that's punched through and won something. And we've done it, and Hal Steinbrenner's done it, but it doesn't guarantee, it's not a given that you're going to continually do it. You can have a good process. All you can count on is try to put together a strong process, really good people, try to get as many quality players that care and are committed and can stay healthy and play to the best of their abilities, you know, for 6 months and then into the different season, which is the postseason, and then keep trying to do it again and again and again and again and again. So he's frustrated because he knows, you know, opportunity lost. I think for all of us, you know, I think whether you're a player putting the uniform on or you're in the front office, you know, people might get surprised at times. I'm more focused on the ones that got away. Like, yes, I've won some World Series, but the ones that I feel, there's a lot of them I feel like we should have won, you know, could have won, you know, but it is tough. It is really difficult to do, and it's easier to talk through or what have you, but actually for those guys in the competition, it's, you know, it's obviously something that we aspire to do once again, and in some cases aspire to do for the first time, so whether it's controlling emotions, whether it's, you know, being at your best at the most important time on any given at bat and on any given pitch and stringing that all together, that is what we continue to, you know, fight for and try to find our way through it. And then trying to walk and talk through it after the fact is, you know, something we'd like to avoid. So hopefully next year we'll find a way.
Eric.
Brian, what makes Aaron the right person to continue in his post as manager?
I think Aaron does, you know, again, what I care about from a managerial point is, you know, it's our job to put together the talent and provide the team. It's their job to decide the lineups, the when to who you're putting in the rotation, who's coming in from the pen, et cetera, blah blah blah. And you know, that's just general, but more specifically, managing these personalities, and especially in the city of New York, which is a pressure cooker. New York, Philly, and Boston, you've heard me talk about, is radically different than elsewhere. And managing through that, I care about the work that goes behind the scenes. Like, whatever decision you're making, are you just making an informed decision? You know, have you spent the time and the effort with your personnel? And anybody can dissect. I don't think that's what happened in this postseason, but anybody can dissect managerial moves and decisions and, like, listen, you can go left or you can go right. And it's either going to be working or it won't work. Could be a good decision that didn't work out, or it could be a bad decision that did work out, or it could be a bad decision that went wrong, or a good decision that went right. And it's up for everybody to debate. It's these managerial jobs are so hard, so difficult. So I try to keep it simple. Are they making, do they have a good process? Are they spending the time to assess the opponent, the scouting reports, the numbers, the players that they have, and know who's capable of what at what time, and trying to do, if they do all that work, you know, I feel like you got a good one. He's had a lot of success in the regular season. He's had some success in the postseason, and that's, you know, there's a lot of things for him to be proud of. I think he's a good manager. I think he's, you know, one of the better managers. And I think, like, in this environment, if he was out there right now, he'd get a job rather quickly. But I also know, because of our environment, he's someone that can be second guessed 10 million times over. And I don't care who you put in that. That would be the same, you know, whoever else would be there. I trust him. I think he's a good man. I think he works his tail off. I think he's got, you know, good people that help support him, and he's got good players. And with all that, it doesn't guarantee the outcome we're all fighting for. But the guarantee is always that we're going to be fighting for it, and that's the one thing that the Steinbrenner family provides for this city, is constantly having a team that you can put forth that you can believe is capable of a championship, and that's the job that we'll be doing again once again next year. I'd rather be talking about a World Series title right now, but I'm not, you know. But the championship caliber intent is always there. So, and I do think I think we have a good manager, and I think he cares, and I think he works hard, and I think he's got good people, and I think we have good players, and we're going to try it again.
Last one, Chris.
Is Spencer Jones a consideration of making the opening day roster, and how do you evaluate where he stands?
I mean, we're going to talk through all that. I think he's put himself in the conversation that he, at least, you know, it's a fair question for you to ask. I think how it plays out depends on how our winter plays out. You'll certainly come to spring training, and he's earned, without a doubt, the look and the competition. But again, it all depends on, you know, how many opportunities exist based on the decisions that come our way this winter. But he's put himself in a position, you know, to be considered a potential everyday major leaguer in 2026. But we'll see.
Okay.
All right, there you have it. The BT and Sal Show on the Fans is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. A lot there with Boone first and then Cashman. When we come back, we'll dissect it all. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.